was at all. Thank you.
First thing I've got to ask is, looking back at your Bradford City days, is it a place that you look back on fondly with some of the memories you created over at Valley Parade?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, yes. I think if I'm honest, if I look back over my career, that was probably the most successful period, but the most enjoyable period of my career as well.
And of course, you came in from Port Vale at the time, the first Bradford City £1 million player. What was it attracted you first off to Valley Parade?
Right, okay. it was one of those, if I'm honest with you. Yeah, you know, I'll tell it how it is. But we had a phone call from Steve Bruce, who was at Sheffield United on a Friday night, the day before. So I thought I was going to Sheffield United. And at the last minute, I got a phone call saying, go to Bradford City, 9 o'clock Saturday morning, like, the next day. I was like, all right, okay. Not quite sure where that one came from, but fully expected Sheffield United to come back with, you know, a revised bid and try and buy me, but they got priced out. So it was almost a case of, you're going to Bradford City, whether you like it or not, we've accepted the bid, so get yourself up there. But when I got there, Paul Jewell basically just told me exactly what he wanted. You know, I was going to be the central striker, got Robbie Blake playing off me, got Peter Beagle putting crosses in, thought I'd score a lot of goals, and was desperate for me to sign. So that's all you needed, really.
Yeah, you're right there. And it certainly is a fantastic story about you getting there as well. And since you mentioned it, I just wanted to bring up that partnership with Robbie Blake, because that was possibly one of the best strike forces we've seen over at Bradford City. I suppose Paul Jewell a few months ago who commented on just how good that partnership was. You two just worked brilliantly together over Valley Parade.
We did, yeah. I mean, I think right at the beginning, I don't know if you remember, I think Robbie was unfit or there was an injury or something, and I played with about three or four other strikers. You know, there was Gordon Watson, there was the Brazilian lad Adinho, there was Rob Steiner as well. So I didn't quite click with Robbie until maybe about the fifth or sixth game. You know, by the time I think he'd recovered from his injury or whatever, he came into the side. And like you say, we clicked almost immediately. You know, the tall striker, the little striker, perfect combination. And yeah, it did really, really work well for me.
It certainly did. From that point onwards, because even though it was a bit of a shaky start to the season, it just a fantastic run for Bradford City from there on in, really, to get yourselves into the Premier League at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember us going to Ipswich Town, I think it was, away, losing 3-0. And on the way back, Paul Jewell got a phone call from the chairman, and he basically said to the lads, I think this is me getting sacked. And all the lads were like, right, okay. Especially like myself, who'd only just signed like kind of a couple of months before. But the chairman just basically said, don't worry about it. You know, carry on. I've got every faith in you. And you're like, right, okay. And it was almost, that was the catalyst, the Ipswich Town game. Everything after that just kind of clicked and went on a fantastic run. And you saw what, bearing with a manager, you know, in light of the Leicester City scenario, what can happen if you've got the right group of players and you believe in what you're doing.
I was going to say, you don't really see that much anymore, do you, being able to stick by a manager through some of the tougher times?
Well, it doesn't seem that way these days, does it? I think clubs are very, very quick to want to get rid of managers and bring other people in, thinking they're miracle workers or something. But I've got to commend the chairman on that particular occasion, bearing with Paul Jewell. I mean, bearing in mind, Paul Jewell had only been there, I think, the back end of the, was it 2 months of the previous season?
Yeah.
And then obviously for the first month of this next season, so he was still learning the trade, if you like. And it would have been very easy just to get rid of him and bring somebody else in who was, probably pretty much more accomplished as a manager, should I say. Bear with him and reap the rewards in the end.
Yeah, that's very true. Culminating with that game over at Molineux against Wolves, and that's one that certainly lives long in the memory of Bradford City fans. I imagined it was just an absolutely outstanding day, that one.
Yeah, I've actually got a picture of myself scoring the goal hung on my wall. It's about the only memorabilia I've got of my career, but that was obviously the highlight of my career, scoring a goal in that particular game that won us the game 3-2 and got us promoted. So that's something that I remember, you know, for the rest of my life, definitely.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And of course, just looking at the sort of Premier League era for Bradford City as well, how do you reflect on that? Because obviously there was times with injuries and with the manager Paul Jewell as well. How do you look back on that year when Bradford were in the top flight of English football?
Personally, I'm glad you asked me this question, because I'll probably clear up a few rumours. There was a few rumours that me and Paul Jewell fell out, and there was all the personal rumours going on. And but what happened was, the last couple of three games of the previous season, I was struggling with a knee injury. My knee was just blowing up after games. And what I should have done was, literally the day after the season finished, I should have had an operation to clear my knee up. But I got kind of talked out of it by the physio and what have you. So I didn't have my operation. Went away on holiday, enjoyed the off-season. Came back pre-season, I think 2 days in, knee's gone again, blown up. So I had to have an operation. And where the problem started were, I had the operation, so 2 days into pre-season, so it's probably talking about the 3rd of July. Didn't do any training whatsoever until the Friday before the season started. That was my very first training session back, and I wasn't ready for the season. And Paul Jewell picked me to play up front on my own away at Middlesbrough. Now, as it happens, I think I created the goal for Dean Saunders. We won the game. But I was nowhere near match fit. And I was being thrown into games where I was not fit enough to play. And that's where the problem started. So I'd play a couple of games. I had problems with my knee still, because I hadn't had the rehabilitation period to correct the problem. And I was, you hear about players these days, I think players are a bit more, you know, stronger, if you like. But I was being made to play in games where I wasn't fit enough. And not only did I not do myself justice, because I wasn't fit enough to play that season, especially early on, I wasn't doing the club any justice either. But Paul Jewell kind of stuck with me, throwing me into games. And that was where it kind of went a little bit sour for me. You know, I think if I'd have had the operation on the very first day of the off-season and come back pre-season, had a really strong pre-season, you'd have seen a different Lee Mills altogether in the Premiership. And that kind of is a bit of a bugbear for me. Because I ended up, I think I scored six or seven goals, I think, in the Premier League, only playing about a dozen games, was it?
Mm.
Something like that. And I wasn't even fit. So it could have been a lot different for me, put it that way. So that's me personally. As it happened, Bradford stayed up on the last game of the season, if you remember, and everything looked rosy. So, but for me, it was a little bit of a down season, definitely.
Yeah, I can understand that. And of course, there was changes in managers as well, going into the second season there as well. And like you say there, that the first season, and it being a bit of a down, even though Bradford were doing so well. What about the second season with Hutchinson coming in and those kind of events unfolding?
Yeah, I mean, that was another strange one, because I think in the pre-season, there was about seven of us put on the transfer list, including myself, Gareth Worley, and obviously a few others were on the fringe, maybe Isaiah Rankin as well. There was a few of us. So we were always on the outside of things, and we were kind of like looking in at things and seeing Chris Hutchins go and get Benny Carbone, who possibly bankrupt the club just on his own, I think. So it was a little bit of a... That was one of those where we weren't really on the inside of things, but we could almost see the club fall into pieces, if you like, because of the type of players they were bringing in and the money that they were giving them. And I think as it happened, I got a move to Portsmouth at pre-season and obviously left it and left the club to it. But obviously what happened to the club after that is well documented, I think, and they're probably still trying to recover from it now, I would have thought, which was a bit difficult to kind of watch. But unfortunately, I wasn't there anymore.
I was going to say, is that one thing that's quite hard to stomach? Everything that happened with Bradford, building up, managing to get into the Premier League, and then just seeing the way that he did fall apart, and the financial sort of disaster that seemed to unfold, even in the sort of years and years that went beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, when the group of players were together and we won promotion, the camaraderie was unbelievable. I've never known that at a club before, where players would literally run through big walls for each other. The second season in the Premier League, obviously a little bit different because the Premier League is different. You know, there's probably more emphasis on passing and keeping the ball in possession and all that kind of thing. But then bringing the kind of players, it's difficult for me to comment because you've got to try and bring players in that are going to take the club further or take the club on. But the types of players they're bringing in, it kind of riled me a little bit because when I first signed for Bradford, the first thing that Paul Jewell said was he wasn't particularly happy with the foreign players' mentality, and he obviously got rid of like the likes of Edinho and Rob Stein, and there's a few others I think where he didn't particularly want that mentality. And then the first thing he did was when we got promoted was he started bringing them types of players in, you know, like Gunnar Haller, players like that. Not to say they weren't good players, but he kind of went completely against his own philosophy. And then Chris Hutchins kind of carried that on a little bit, like say with your Benny Carbonis, and I think it was George Cadet and Bruno Rodriguez and some of these players we'd never even heard of. But they were coming into Bradford and kind of reaping the rewards of us getting promoted, if that makes sense. Mm. It felt like almost we'd done all the hard work for somebody else to just come in and reap the benefits. So that was a little bit hard to stomach in terms of that. But you kind of trusted the chairman and Chris Hutchins that they knew what they were doing. But unfortunately, if you're a Bradford City fan, it's proved that they didn't know what they were doing. So it's a little bit difficult. But like I say, it's one of those where the fans have seen what's happened and they're still trying to recover now. So.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And just looking back at that, because they say, you know, the camaraderie that you all went through in that promotion season and running through brick walls for each other. And like you said, when it started to go a bit sour with Paul, is that a shame that the way that you know, that things ended ended there?
I think it's one of those where a lot of the players actually said that getting promoted was the worst thing that happened to them. That does that sound? Because, I mean, I played, 50-something games and scored 25 goals. And I was kind of on fire at that point. And then getting promoted, everything changed. You know, the money coming into the club changed. The type of players that they wanted to bring in changed. And then instead of being classed as either the first or second choice striker, I don't mind being behind Robbie Blake, you know, being second choice striker, if you like. I was like kind of fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth choice striker the following season. And you're like, what happened? It just kind of all went, all just changed overnight. But as going back to it, I mean, I would never take back that Premiership experience. You know, it was fantastic. It's just the whole dynamics changed, and it was a little bit difficult to kind of get your head round. I'm going to have to leave the club that I've just scored 25 goals and gotten promoted for. It almost felt like you're being punished, which was a bit difficult. But you know, I went to Portsmouth and I really enjoyed that experience as well. You know, I'd never played for a southern club before, so that was different. You know, being a proper Yorkshireman, you know, around Southerners is an experience in itself. So I would never knock like kind of what happened in my career, but it was it always left a bitter taste in your mouth what happened at Bradford. You know, I wanted to probably leave on better terms than I did. And I'm not saying that the fans didn't appreciate what I did for the club, but I would like to have done more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean there. And looking at Bradford, do you still sort of keep up to date with them and still see how they're going on in the modern day as well now?
Yeah, I live in the Midlands now, so obviously I get more news about the Midland clubs. But my parents and a few friends and family are still up in Yorkshire, so they give me the lowdown every now and then. But it's the first club I always look at to see what the results are. You know, and when the manager was appointed, Stuart, obviously having played with him and having a tie with him, you know, I want him to be successful. So definitely the first club I look out for on a Saturday.
I was going to say, obviously, playing alongside Stuart McCall and a real fan favourite up there at Bradford City as well. Is he always one of those that's shown those sort of leadership skills and all the rest of it, really, that, you know, this one day this guy might be a manager somewhere like Bradford City?
Oh, I think Stuart had all the hallmarks of a coach stroke manager, even when he was a player, you know. I know Paul Joe used to give his team talk and Chris Hutchins would throw his little bit in as well, but so would Stuart. And he had the utmost respect from all the players. And if he said something, you listened. So that's straight away you can see he's going to be a manager one day. Possibly could have maybe done a little bit more in his managerial career. But I think if he stays at Bradford, I think he's got a fantastic opportunity to take him back through the leagues, and I hope he does that, definitely.
Because he had a bit of a sleeping giant in there as well. I mean, getting 21,000, the way that the season tickets have gone as well. It seems there's been a rebirth of Bradford City in the previous few years, especially under Phil Parkinson, now under Stuart McCall. It'd be great to see him back in the Championship again, wouldn't it?
Definitely. As I said, I think Stuart's you know, he's a fantastic guy first and foremost. Obviously knows the game inside out, and he's back at Bradford City, you know, a club that he obviously loves, and everyone loves him there as well. So that would be probably a fairy tale if he can carry on the success that he's had so far this season as well, and get him promoted. And you know, I think he could do big things there, definitely, especially getting that kind of crowd. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's he certainly is great over at Bradford City at the moment as well. And one thing I was looking at as well, Lee, was the old Intertoto Cup days. And I know that you sort of... I was wondering how you look back on it, because I thought at the time, is it one of those where you're using it to gain a bit of fitness? But I suppose you're one of the very few Bradford players that scored in a European game for Bradford City.
Do you know what was funny? When Bradford played in the Cup against Swansea, wasn't it? Was it a couple of three seasons ago?
Yeah.
And obviously, if Bradford had, if they'd have won that game, would have got into Europe again. And I had a phone call from TalkSport. And the first question they asked me was, can you tell us about your goal that you scored? You were the last person to score in Europe for Bradford. Talk us through the goal. And I was just sat on the phone going, I've got no idea which goal you're talking about. I was literally, did I score in Europe? And he taught me through the game and the goals. I was like, oh yeah, I remember that now. And the guy was like, well, thanks very much for that interview. That was about the most pointless interview we've ever had. And I said, well, you could have prompted me on what you was going to ask me. So that was quite a funny moment. But I do remember those games. But I do remember going away to Zenit St. Petersburg, and I think Andrei Arshavin played, the old Arsenal player, in that game, and they absolutely ripped us to pieces. I know they beat us 1-0, and it was one of those where I remember Dean Saunders looking over to me and thinking, I think it's time to retire. And I was like, well, it's all right for you, I'm only 29. So they tore us to pieces that day, but it's another part of your career, you know, that you can look back on and think it was, well, especially if you can remember it, you know, that was a good experience for me.
Yeah, it certainly was. It certainly was. And well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you here on the daytime today. Thank you so much for sharing your career with us here on Radio Yorkshire.
Not a problem at all. Thank you very much.